Philippians chapter 4, the fourth chapter of Philippians in your Schofield Bible, page 1260, 1260. We'll be reading verses 10 through 19. We'll read the verses responsively. Let's stand, please, as is our custom here at First Baptist for the reading of God's Word. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with me, or with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know this, so that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm reading another verse, and you'll not turn to it. It's Proverbs 31:11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And let's pray. Father, what a wonderful day. It's good because we have a place to come that's historic, a place that's blessed of thee. And through the years, and especially these times, this present time, thou hast certainly been good to our church, and we're thankful to be here. We pray that you'd bless the service this morning. There'll never be another one like it. We pray that you give us attentiveness to the word as it's preached, and it's necessary that we hear. It's vital that we pay attention. And help us to leave behind our cares and our problems and just to concentrate upon that which will help us with our cares and our problems. Bless our preacher. Bless, we pray, and give him of thy Spirit's power. And help us with that same power to give carefulness and attention to the message. In Jesus' name, amen.
They're trying to figure out which one's the grandmother, which one's the mother, which one's the granddaughter. And I'm sure that you enjoyed the song about... In fact, the music has all been sweet this morning, hasn't it? I want to speak this morning on the subject, what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. I hope you listen carefully. The psalm, the wise man wrote the proverb said, the virtuous woman watches over the needs of her husband. In fact, it says that he shall have no need of spoil. I want to just pick out those little words, that he shall have no need. The job of the wife is for her husband to have no need. The job of the husband is for the wife to have no need. The job of the father is for the children to have no need. The job of the children is for the parents to have no need. He shall have no need. You're supposed to see that that's true about all of those that you love. And then in Philippians 4:19, that verse, all of us know, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That verse is very misunderstood. Very misunderstood. Before I pray, without your turning to it, I'm going to turn to it. And I want to read just a few words. Now, listen carefully to me. That verse does not mean that God will supply the needs of all his people. if you'll look, I'll look without your turning to it, to the verse before that. It says, but I have and have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now the next verse says, my God shall supply all your need. What he's saying is, he's not saying God will supply everybody's need. He's saying God will supply the needs of the need suppliers. He's saying, you sent me gifts. The church in Philippi had sent by Epaphroditus an offering or offerings from the church. And Epaphroditus had brought those to the Apostle Paul. And now Paul writes a letter back to the church and says, you have supplied my need. For example, it says here in verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, now that at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Now because they cared for him, my God shall supply all their need. Then he says in verse number 15, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. It is to that group that God said, my God shall supply all your need. And then in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So the entire chapter here, most of the chapter, deals with the church in Philippi supplying the need of the Apostle Paul. Now God turns around and says, since you have supplied my needs, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Don't you selfish folks claim this verse, Philippians 4:19, it's not for you. Don't you folks that don't help anybody during Christmas with sacrificial giving, don't you claim this, my God will supply all your need. God is saying here, he supplies the need of the need suppliers. Don't leave me now. Father, bless the message. I want to be a help. That's all I want to be, a blessing and a help. May it be so. Amen. Now, I want you to set up straight. I'm not preaching this morning a Christmas message. I will tonight preach somewhat a Christmas message. But this morning, I want to leave you with the truth that you need to hear. So everybody sit up straight, and no talking, and no whispering, and no walking around. Sit up straight and listen carefully. I said Philippians 4:19 is misunderstood. It is not an unconditional promise. God is not saying here to every Christian, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. He is saying to a church of people who have sacrificially supplied the needs of the Apostle Paul, that my God will supply all your needs. He is saying to people who give to others here, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now I want to say seven things by way of introduction. Number one is, they had supplied Paul's need. Number two, now God supplies their need. Number three, so God supplies the need of need suppliers. Number four, so I must be searching for the needs of those whom I love. Are you listening? Are you listening? I must be searching for the needs of those whom I love. For only if I supply the needs of those whom I love will God supply my need. My God shall supply your need. God's not saying to a person who comes to church once every 6 months, my God will supply all your need. My God's not saying to a person that doesn't tithe and give 10% of his income to his own church, my God shall supply all of your need. God is saying to unselfish people, to giving people, to sacrificial people, since you supply the needs of others, then I will use others and will supply your need through the lives of others. I said, number one, they had supplied Paul's need. I said, number two, now God supplies their need. I said, number three, so God supplies the need of need suppliers. I said, number four, so I must be searching for the needs of those whom I love. And may I stop and say this? I do that. I do that. I search for the needs of those whom I love. And when I see a need, and I'll go for that trial, I try to supply that need. Then God, once I have searched for the needs of those whom I love and have supplied those needs, then God searches for my needs and supplies my needs. And since God knows my needs better than I do, I would rather God supply my needs than me decide what my needs are. So God searches for mine. Then, number six, I have supplied my greatest need, that of supplying your need.
I don't think you heard that. I then, once I have searched for your need, and I have supplied your need, then I have supplied my greatest need, because my greatest need is to supply the needs of those whom I love. And whether you know it or not, that's your greatest need also. Your greatest need is to supply the needs of those whom you love. Number seven, then God supplies my other needs. So, I must supply the needs of those I love. Now follow me carefully. If I'm going to supply the need of those I love, I've got to find out what the word need means. Let me give you what it means. The word need means gap. I must supply the gap. Let me show you what I'm talking about here. I have a glass of water here. Now, that glass of water, I'll use it in a minute. Let me give you one more word. It says that I'm a supply of the need. The word need means gap or lack. Brother Colston here, for example, he's drunk some of his water here. Now, it may be that your need is from there up, then I'm to fill up that glass. Or it may mean that you don't need that much, you just need from there up. The word supply is the word supplement. It comes from the word supplement, which means to fill full. Listen to me now. Hey, no walking around. Everybody sit down and be still now. Listen to me carefully. Listen. That means that I am to find out what the gap is, what you're lacking. And I, look at me, look at me. I'm preaching to you. Look at me. I am to supply or fill up to what you are lacking. It may be that you only need this much, or it may be that you need that much. But whatever you need, I'm to fill up what you need. Now then, that means that I'm to supplement solidly your needs. Romans chapter 16, verse 2, concerning Phoebe, it says, assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. Now listen, it didn't say assist her according to your ability. It said assist her according to her need. It didn't say give as much as you can. It says give what she needs. Don't miss this. Most Christians haven't got the foggiest idea. The average person, if they put a quarter, a couple of quarters, a 50 cents or a dollar in the Salvation Army kettle during Christmas, they feel like they ought to be sanctified as a saint later on to the Catholic Church. Now you listen to me. My Bible doesn't say give what you can. My Bible says give what your loved ones need. There's that gap. Whatever that gap is, I'm to fill that gap up. 1 John 3:17 says, but whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now listen to me. You are the husband of Elaine Colston. You are to fill up the gap that she has, her needs. You don't say what you see is what you get. You say what you need is what you get. I get a little piece tired of people saying, well, I'm just me. What you see is what you get. Yeah, you're an idiot too. That's not Bible. Paul didn't say, my God shall give you all he can. My God shall supply your need. Paul didn't say, take care of Phoebe as best you can. Paul said, you supply her need. And in Proverbs 31 and verse 11, it says, so her husband hath no need. Her husband hath no need. Every wife here is supposed to supply the need of her husband and not, well, this is me. Take me as I am. That's not Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, look at me. I'm trying to give you a truth. And this old world is a selfish old world. And Christians are just about as selfish as the unsaved people. I'm saying it is our job to fill up the gap that is left in the lives and the needs of our loved ones and those whom we love. It is our job to supplement or whatever is not in the glass, fill it, the glass to the top. You don't give what you can, you give what they need. So you don't say you get what you see, but you say you get what you need. You don't say I'll give you what I have, but I'll give you what I need. You don't say, I'll give you what you ask for. No, it says you give what your loved one needs. Now, if his need is 10 and he has 9, you give one. If his need is 10 and he has 5, you give 5. But I don't have 5 to give. I said you give 5. Listen to me carefully. God doesn't give you a loved one or a friend without giving you the ability and the wherewithal to supply the needs of that loved one or friend. God doesn't give you a husband without your ability to supply the need of that husband. And God doesn't give you a wife without the ability to supply the need of that wife. So if his need is 10, I give him 1. And has 9, I give 1. If his need is 5, if his need is 10 and he has 5, I give 5. If his need is 10 and he has 2, I give 8. Not what you see is what you get. Not I'll give you all I can. Not I can't give you any more, but I'll become what you need. I'll not expect you to change your needs according to my haves. I'll change my haves according to your needs. I'll change my supply. I am going to get you what you need. Now, somebody this morning is saying already, and I wish my husband could hear that. You missed the whole sermon. It's not your job to expect folks to supply your need. It's your job to supply the need of those that you love. God said he knows your needs, and God can touch anybody's mind and heart he wants to give you anything he wants you to have. So you just, I'm not preaching this morning for you to say, go home and say, hey, you're not supplied. I get so sick and tired, I want to kick over every microphone here. I get so sick and tired of couples coming in my office, and I say, what's the problem? And she said, he doesn't supply my needs. If she is my wife, I wouldn't spank her, but I'd want to. I'm trying to say, fellow says, she's not supplying my needs. You sorry, selfish, self-centered, egotistical person, you. You're the happiest people in this world not to know those that are trying to get their needs supplied, but those that try to supply the needs of somebody else. All right, listen carefully. If his need or her need is affection, you don't walk up and say, I'm not an affectionate person. Listen to me, I'm preaching to you. You don't walk up and say, I'm not an affectionate person. I just can't supply your need. God wouldn't have put you there if you couldn't supply the needs of affection. I'm talking to couples this morning. I'm talking to women this morning that are dying for a husband to be affectionate. I'm talking to women this morning that are dying for a husband to put his arms around you and press his lips against yours and to say, you're the most beautiful thing in the world and I love you with all of my heart. But the man says, what you see is what you get. That's what I was afraid of. You listen to me. You hear me well. Every husband in this room this morning is supposed to supply the needs of his wife. And, I'm just not the type. Then change the type. I'm talking to men here today that are starving for affection from a wife who almost gloats in the fact that she's frigid or unaffectionate. I know it. I counsel with folks. I talk to men. Ladies, you ought to go home this morning, and you ought to grab that guy, and you ought to hug him and kiss him. And I don't mean just today. I mean whatever his needs are, romantically, you're supposed to give them to him. And if he needs affection, you don't give him what affection you have. You give him what affection he needs. Well, he said, I just can't do it. My Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It is not your job to say to your husband, here I am. You get what you see. I'm just me. I can't change. Oh, yes, you can. You're supposed to look, listen to me, you're supposed to look at the affectionate needs of your husband and fill them, or if that's how much affection he needs from here to here, you need to fill it up. If he needs it from here to here, you need to fill it up. It is your job to supply the need, and the same thing about you men. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for you to marry somebody and keep them from getting affection. It's wrong for them to get it from somebody else. That means a Christian man gets it from his wife or doesn't get it at all, and all you're doing is standing in the way of him getting affection. Well, you say, okay, why didn't he get somebody else? He can't get anybody else. He's already stuck with you, Jesse. I'm saying it is your job to supply the need of your husband. And it's your job to supply the need of your wife.
Let's take the matter of assurance. You don't give to your spouse the assurance that you have to give. You give the assurance that your spouse needs. It may be that you're married to a real confident spouse. It may be that your husband or wife is real confident, and all they need is just that much assurance. Or it may mean that your spouse is not as confident as somebody else and doesn't feel the assurance and security that somebody else does. And that means you're supposed to supply. Well, you say, I'm giving all I got. No, you're supposed to fill up the cup to the brim, the cup of assurance. It may be that your spouse needs more provisions. But whether it's provisions or affection, boy, I'd like to grab you this morning and shake you and say, in God's name, why don't you quit living for your cotton-picking self? Why don't you could get, what can I get? Me, my, us, we, ours. Why don't you stop and realize that God has allowed you to cross the path of certain people and has given you the responsibility to fill up full the needs, supply. Supplement is the word. Supplement the needs of those whom God has allowed you to love. I cannot think of my needs because that when I think of my needs, they're tainted with selfishness. I must think of yours. That means that I supply yours and then God supplies mine. But me supplying your needs is God using you to do so and God doing it. Now listen carefully to me. That means if I don't supply your needs, God doesn't supply your needs. You know what I'm saying? That means if you don't give your husband or wife the security that he or she needs, or the assurance that he or she needs, or the affection that he or she needs, that means that God cannot give it to him because God has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men to his way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men that Christ died. He has no help but our help to lead men to his side. We're the only Bible this careless world will read. We're the sinner's gospel. We're the scoffer's creed. We're the Lord's last message written in deed and word. What if the line is crooked and what if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other works than his? And what if our feet are leading where sin's lumen is? What if our tongues are speaking of things that Christ would spurn? How can we hope to aid him and hasten his return? If God tells me to supply your needs, Bob, God says he'll do it. God has no hands but these hands. God has no feet but these feet. God has no tongue but this tongue. And God's going to use me to supply your needs. If I don't, I'm standing in the way of Almighty God supplying the needs of his children. Boy, that's good stuff. Listen to me carefully. For 37 and a half years, I've studied your needs more than I've studied anything else in this world except that book. For 37 and a half years, nearly, I've looked for your needs. I've sought for your needs. I spend probably more time trying to figure what you need and getting what you need from this book than any other single activity of my life. Now, what's happened? I've tried to supply your spiritual needs. If I haven't, it's not because I've not tried. I've given much of my life seeking. What do you need? What do my people need? In this book, I read the Bible, and every verse I read, do my people need this soon? Will this feed my people soon? So what's happened? I have tried to supply your need, and because I've tried to supply your need, God in turn has led you to supply my need. My God shall supply all the tightwads' needs. That's not in the Bible. My God will supply all the non-tithers' needs. That's not in the Bible. My God will supply all the Scrooges' needs. That's not in the Bible. My God will supply all the skinflints' needs. That's not in the Bible. My God will supply all the selfish person's needs. That's not in the Bible. He's saying to people who supply the need of their loved ones, I'll supply your need. Now you listen carefully.
Some of you men don't have a job today because you don't treat your wife right. See what I said? And some of you ladies are having a tough time getting along because you don't supply the need of your husband. Now you get busy, and if you're a woman, you supply that man's needs. I'm talking about security. I'm talking about assurance. I'm talking about affection. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about meals. I'm talking about clean house. I'm talking about you supply those needs. Then you look at Philippians 4:19 and claim that promise. My God will supply all my needs. If you're a husband this morning, well, by the way, same thing for your children and wives. If you're a husband, you say, I'll supply the needs of my wife. I won't say, what you see is what you get. Yeah, that seems so masculine. Now, what you see is what you get. That means I'm a real He-Man. He-Man is spelled F-O-O-L. I-D-I-O-T. M-O-R-O-N. Real He-Men fulfill their responsibilities in life and supply the need of those whom they love. Ask a question this morning, wife. Listen carefully. Is your husband sitting there dying for somebody to be kind, sweet, and loving to them? How long has it been since you said, I love you first? Oh, he says, I love you, sweetheart. I do. I do.
Well, my mother wasn't affectionate.
I don't see anything in here about mother-in-law being a part of this verse. It is sad. I'm getting mad. It is sad for a man to go out and work hard to support you. Under a truck, maybe, or in an engine of a car, holding a hammer in his hand as a carpenter, or maybe at a factory somewhere, and support you. And for that man to come home and not have his cup filled all the way to the top. Need means gap. Supplying needs means filling up the gap. It is cruel for a man. 51 years ago, I took a teenage bride. I took her from her father. I took her from her mother. I took her from her brother. I took her from her friends. I took her from her church. I took her from her pastor. I took her from her neighborhood. I took her from her environment where she'd grown up, and took her 1,000 miles away to another state to live as a soldier boy's wife. What a sad thing it is for you to take that woman. Listen to me carefully. You listen carefully, men, or substitutes for men. You listen carefully. For you to take that little woman off the market and take her from her family, her home, her loved ones, her friends, her neighborhood, her church, her pastor, and her background. And you to take her. I see a man's got his hand up with his Bible up right here. He's got a wife from the Philippine Islands. I can tell you people that have brought wives from overseas to America and haven't given them what they need. It is a tragic shame for you to take that woman, ask her to leave all and follow you. And she sits there starving for somebody to love her. She sits there starving for somebody to say you're beautiful. She sits there starving, maybe for assurance. Now, some ladies don't need as much as others. Some ladies have more confidence, and some men have more confidence. But it's your job as the husband or the wife to fill up the glass. It's not your job. It's not your job to take as much as it would take to fill it up here and put it there. That's going to make it about a third full. It's your job to fill up whatever's lacking. Supplement. Fill up the gap. Wife, are you filling the gap in your husband's life? Or is it you get what you see and see what you get? Husband, are you filling up the lack in your wife's life? Or are you saying, I'm just me. I can only give what I am.
Real men can give more than they have. Real men go get what the wife needs. I'm looking at women this morning that are begging for some affection. I'm looking at women this morning. I counsel with these couples. I'm looking this morning at women that are starving to death for their husbands. They're like that. They need that husband to come home tonight and today and every day and just fill that all the way to the top. I'm looking at men who are starving for affection. I'm looking at men that hardly ever hear the words, "I love you," unless it's in response to the husband. I'm looking today for men that rarely ever are approached with a big hug and a kiss, and you're the greatest man in all the world. And by the way, every man has a right to be the greatest man in all the world, and every woman has a right to be the most beautiful woman in all the world, too. These young Howells Anderson students stand up and introduce their parents. What do they say? This is the most wonderful, the world's greatest mother and the world's greatest father. Well, where is the world's greatest mother and father? The one that reared you, that's who they are. Children, young people, and ask a question. Are you filling the gap of your parents? Now you listen carefully to me. There are parents in this room this morning would give anything in the world to get one little love note from a child. One. Their parents in this room this morning, you'd make their day, their month, their year, if you'd just walk up to them and say, "You're the greatest mother in the whole world," or "the greatest dad in the whole world." Well, you say, "My dad's not the kind, like, oh, they don't make that kind of dad." He may look like he doesn't care. I was in a distant state a few weeks ago. A big old fellow walked up. He had grease under his fingernails, and his neck was two sizes bigger than his shirt collar. And his shirt was sticking out like that, and he had white socks on. And a navy blue suit and white socks. He walked up to me after the service, "Bill, guy like that, I thought he was going to whip me." He said, "I've got a daughter at your college." I thought, uh-oh, probably she got expelled. He said, "I heard you, I don't go to church myself, but he said, I heard you're here, and I just wanted to come and tell you something." Boy, I ducked. And that big old guy, broad shoulders and barrel-chested with grease under his fingernails, white socks on, his pants about 3 inches too short, showing the white socks. He broke into tears and said, "My daughter came home and told me I was the greatest dad in the whole world. She came home from college and she told me that she loved me. She said, he said, we never had much of that in our house." Stood there and cried, and later on put his arms around me and hugged me and thanked me for teaching his daughter to love her dad. And the daughter probably thought her dad never would want anybody to say that. They don't make a person like that. Brothers and sisters, are you supplying the needs of your brothers and sisters? My sister's 78 years old. I'm 70. I took her out to eat Friday night just to talk about her needs. That's all. Didn't want to, but I was going to preach this sermon today, and I thought I ought to. I didn't mean all that stuff I said, Eileen. I'm her brother. Back rack, if she's got a need, you look at the guy that's going to supply it. Well, how do you afford it? That's not the issue. You do. You do. Parents, are you supplying the needs of your children? The gaps? Adult children, are you supplying the needs of your aged parents? Nobody in this world has a smaller glass of security than aged parents do. You adults, that you'd be glad if you can get rid of your parents and ship them off to some rest home somewhere. You ought to walk up and hug them and their old wrinkled face and stooped shoulders. The wrinkles they got are there because they cared for you. The little stooped back is because they cared you.
and their palsy of the hands, and their unsure step, and the weakness of their bodies because they gave their lives for you. Are you filling the gap of love? Are you filling the gap of care? Are you filling the gap of security? Are you filling the gap of assurance? Are you filling the gap of compliment and praise? Are you filling the gap of provisions? I said a while ago, please don't misunderstand me. I'm no saint. Whatever I give, I'm selfish in it. Because I found out it's more fun to give than to get. I like to try the other every once in a while, but I found out it's a lot more fun to give than to get. I mean that. Not just more blessed, it is more fun. I mean, whoopee, hot dog, rah, rah, 15 for team, it's more fun. So I'm selfish when I give. But I found out this. I found out the way to live is be a need searcher. Man, my mind's running wild now with things I want to say, and it's too late to say them. That's one person said, go keep going, preacher. The other day I was on a bus coming back from O'Hare Field on this tri-state bus. I was going to preach at the college, and I was shaving with my electric razor. Every time I turned on, everybody looks around. You know, if I'm on an airplane or on a bus, well, what's that noise back here? What's that noise? Especially if you're on an airplane, they think something's gone wrong, you know. And I got one of those. I have half dozen razors. I keep one at home. I keep one in my office. Keep one in my briefcase. Keep one at the college. And so I was ready. And the razor I've got, you can hear the whiskers as they hit the metal. Three seats back, a pilot was sitting. That pilot comes up to me and he says, what kind of razor is that? It sounds like it's doing a good job. He said, every razor I've got, I'm not satisfied with. What kind is that? I told him. He said, where do you think I can get one? Hold it now. I never seen him. I said, I'll get you one. I'll get you one. He lives in this area. I'll get you one. I went down to the store and bought him a razor. Mailed it to him. I saw him 10 minutes in my whole life, I guess. He said, what are you? I'm a wonderful person. Now, I know what's going to happen. 15 men will walk my office after service and say, what kind of razor do you use? I heard those whiskers all the way from your house to mine hitting that metal. May I say this in closing? Philippians 4:19 is for me. Because I do what I can to supply the needs of those whom I love. Then God said, my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Let me listen to me. Does anyone that you know love have a gap? Maybe the gap is that big. The gap of provision. The gap of praise and compliments. The gap of assurance and security. Maybe that's all they need. Then that's all you need to do. But it just may be that that's what they need. And you say to me, you say to them, what you see is what you get. What you ought to say to them, it's my job to fill up that need. If you need more praise, I'll give you more praise. If you need more protection, I'll give you more protection. If you need more provision, I'll give you more provision. If you need more security, I'll give you more security. If you need more affection, I'll give you more affection. If you need more assurance, I'll give you more assurance. But whatever your need is exactly what I'm going to give. I'll not determine what I give or how much I can give, but how much you need. That's what I'll do. I ask you again. Wife, is that your husband this morning? And you come along and say, what you see is what you get. And you give him all you think you can give him, and he still just has that. Or wife, is that husband, is that what your wife has this morning?
Children, is that what your parents have this morning? Grandchildren, is that what your grandparents have this morning? Paul said, you supplied my need. I'm in jail. You sent me gifts. You've done it before. He said, now, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. I thank God this morning. I can look at Philippians 4:19. And by the way, just check me out. Ask Mrs. Hiles. Ask Jack Scott. Ask Cindy. Ask Verlene. Ask my friends. If Brother Hiles doesn't seek to find the needs of those that he loves and those who are his. And I thank God I can look at Philippians 4:19 this morning and say, praise God, that's for me. My God shall supply all the needs of the need suppliers. Would you bow your heads, please?